Have a Bible with you. We're in, he's going to be speaking from Matthew, first chapter. If not, we'll have it on the screen above, or you can follow along as I read this morning. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Let's welcome our pastor this morning.
Thank you, Mike. Christmas. You know, Mike read that text. And here's our challenge when we read something like that. You've heard that your whole life. I didn't become a Christian till I was 12, but even before then, I heard that story. I've heard it, I don't know, thousands of times. Even in the public high school that I went to, we heard that. They did those kind of things back then. And when you hear the story of the birth of Jesus, the challenge that we have is that it doesn't just become that emotional, oh, it's such a nice kiddie story, a kind of thing that your brain kind of shuts down and there's no really thought that goes into it because you've heard it so many times. Christmas. Christmas, the baby in a manger. And that's about how it strikes us, and it doesn't go for many of us beyond that. In fact, for some of us, there is a certain kind of church experience that we have. A certain kind of hearing words and feeling maybe even goosebumps, but really not the real message, the real message that has to grip our hearts. God Almighty became a baby in a manger. God with us, Emmanuel. That word that was translated from the Old Testament, Isaiah. Emmanuel, God with us. God with us. Now I know some of you might think, well, now, wait a minute, how God? I thought Jesus, you know, he was the Son of God, but, you know, we're sons of God and daughters of God. Is he, did he really mean that when he said God with us? And is it God with us because he raised this boy and in that way it's God with us? Or is it really God Almighty, God the Creator, God the Son of God in the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Is it truly this God became flesh? There's probably some people here who really never thought about it and doesn't think it's maybe even that important that it's God with us. Because you were raised, you know, all religions, especially if you take some religious philosophy class, you know, all religions have its bases and all religions has its way. And all of them have certain moral concepts that you live by to please God. No. This is not Jesus, a prophet like Muhammad. No, this is not like a Buddha who had great philosophy and teachings. who let us know if you live a certain way and do certain things that you'll be able to approach God. No. No, this Jesus is God with us. This is God with us. And there's other places in the Word that talks about that very thing, about God being with us. In John 1:1, in the beginning, God, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was God. What was the Word? That was Christ. That was the point of John. And you read through the whole book of St. John, and you see the reason why it was written was for the purpose, so you begin to get the idea, and you see that this is God that was made flesh. This is God that is with us. Now, when you begin to put on your brain and you begin to think about that, it can change a whole lot of things for you. I got to tell you that as a pastor for a long time, 37 years here, going on 38 now, 37 years here, and I pastored about 3 years before that. It was several years ago that a light came on for me. God with us. And it changed everything in my life, even as a pastor. Because there was a certain kind of experience that I have had with God, and I know God, and I believe I was born again. But there was something about this thing of what God did. Something that changed the message for me. That changed Christmas for me. That changed reading Matthew 1, 18 to 25. That changed the whole reading and the concept. It wasn't just a child's story. No, this is God Almighty that became flesh. That He was with us. And it was so different than the Old Testament story of God being with them. Or experiences that they had with God. Not so much of God with them, but the experiences that they had with God. Job, who saw Him as a whirlwind. You know, a tornado. And you know the damage that a tornado can do. We've seen it in the United States. We've seen it in the Southwest. A tornado that can bring such destruction. And that was his vision. That's what he saw. A tornado. It was other descriptions. There was Abraham who saw God as a smoking furnace burning up the sacrifices that were laid out. Moses who and the children of Israel who saw God as a pillar of fire and who in the temple, the tabernacle, from time to time, the Shekinah glory, that's what they called it, the presence of God. The Shekinah glory would come down in that tabernacle. And no one would go in at that point because they couldn't stand the presence of God. This was the experience that they were having with God. An experience, but different than God with us. An experience of God who was powerful, dangerous, should be feared, should stand back and close your eyes. And if some way you were to get in His presence somehow, other people around couldn't stand it. As Moses, when he came down from the mount, as he received the law, and his face glowed because he was in the presence of God, and they said, Moses, we can't look on you. Put a veil on. He put a veil on his face. Incredible story about their experiences with God. This Jesus, there was something else that He was showing us. This God becoming flesh, not just an experience, not just a babe in a manger where they came and they bowed down and they gave gifts, not just shepherds, not just an angel, but something beyond just a little story. This is God becoming flesh. This is God becoming man. This is God with us. And I do not have the ability to explain that. I don't have the words in any kind of way in preaching that would stir up that understanding or get a hold of your brain and get you to get it, I can't do that. I don't have the ability. I don't know of anyone who might. Well, there might be some, but not me. So how do I express the intenseness that I feel about that God with us? Not just a child's story, but this is God. He revealed himself as God when the Bible said several places that Jesus forgives sin. In fact, the paralytic, he said, your sins are forgiven. And the Jewish leaders at the time were so infuriated with Jesus. You know what they said? How can he forgive sins? Only God can forgive sins. Do you understand what that means? And that's true. They knew. They understand. They had the theology of it. Only God could forgive sins. If I went and I said some ugly things to Amber, and I was mean to her, and I got all after her for laughing at me because I said that I'm glad to be here from the Caribbean. Now, if I came down on her, and then Barb says to me, oh, Pastor Dave, I forgive you. I didn't do anything to her. She doesn't have any right or privilege to say that I am forgiven. No, the one that I harmed, the one that I did something to, that is the one that have to say, I forgive you. When it comes to our sins, it's not sinning against someone else. We sinned against God. David understood that. And you could say, well, he sinned against Uriah. He sinned against... my brain's dead. He sinned against Bathsheba. But he said, I've sinned against you and you alone. Because there's really only one that can forgive. The perfect one. The one who is perfect in every God. Only God could forgive. And so the Jews understood this. When Jesus said, I forgive you. What? They said, that's crazy. They were at that point ready to kill him because he was making a statement that he is God. And there's so many others, Thomas, who worshiped. And Jesus, who worshiped Jesus, and Jesus said, no, don't do that. No, he accepted the worship. And the Jews understood, you only worship God. There were times that they saw angels and they fell to their face and the angel said, no, stand up. I'm just a creation just like you. You don't worship me. There's only one to be worshipped. That's God Almighty. The Jews understood that. But Jesus received the worship. He was God. He was God made flesh. He was God with us. God with us. I want you to think with me just that term with. God with. God came alongside. There can be a relationship with God. Prior to that, they experienced, but there wasn't a relationship. There wasn't coming into the mountain to have a time with God. There was no, you left after a bit because you couldn't take the power of God and the glory of God that was there. Only one priest, a high priest, once a year could go into that tabernacle because they couldn't handle the presence of God. And sometimes they would die and they'd pull them out by a rope. I mean, we're talking about something incredible, something that's beyond our Gentile thinking. And because we don't read these things and we don't even sometimes believe those things. We just think they're stories that were told many years ago. There is such a difference between experience and relationship. There's a difference between the Old Testament and God coming down and the New Testament, God with us. Pam and I, when we were young, and we would go to a place called Tony's, grab a pizza, and we'd go down to the ocean and eat the pizza before we made out. Anyway, And just erase that part. Would you rewind that and just kind of... And anyway, we would go down there. And one of the things that we enjoy doing is to watch guys like Jim Cubitt, who is a surfer. He was a surfer in that area. Maybe I even saw him surf. But we'd do that all the time. In fact, as we came to the Northwest and we'd go down back to visit my family, we would go down to Tony's Pizza, grab a pizza, go down to the ocean and watch him surf. And you could say, to a certain extent, you know, we experienced that surfing thing. We watched them. But I really wanted to, I thought, you know, it looks kind of easy. I'm an athlete. Jim Cubitt's not an athlete. You know, I'm kidding about that. I'm an athlete. You know, these guys, if they can do it, I can do it. And so one time, when I was in fairly good shape, I decided I'm going to do this thing because it's easy enough and looks like fun. So I got the surfboard. I hopped on it. And there's some pretty good-sized waves, and, you know, I've watched enough surfing that I know how to do it. You know, when the waves break, you go under them. You don't try to go over them. So I go under them. Now I'm upside down and twisted, and I guess there's a certain way to go under them, but it just looked like they went under them. And so I'm fighting. I'm working at getting out there to go under it again, you know, and I'm there just fighting, and I'm not making a whole lot of headway. At the end of the story, I finally get out to surf. I am so tired, so wasted, there's no way that I can do it. I am so worn out, I can't even get up on the board, but I'm going to try it anyway. And so I get up on that board as I'm catching the wave, and you know what happened. I went right down, and my body's doing this, and the board is going somewhere around me, and I come in. Now, let me ask you something. I surfed, well, kind of. Am I considered a surfer? No. I have experienced it. I have watched it. I have even had some type of experience with doing it. I was up on the board, and I actually stood up for about a half a second. In your life, you come to church and you experience God in some form or fashion. You even have some feelings with it. You come and you hear a message and you nod your head. Some of you. So you come and there's some type of good feeling maybe that you feel. Does that make you a Christian? Let me tell you something about a Christian. A Christian gets Christmas. God with me. God Almighty who came down and changed everything in my life. Everything changed. A real Christian not just experiences something, but he gets God being with him. You can come to church and experience and even get a goosebump. I mean, didn't you with that music that they sang? How can you not get a goosebump? I mean, Jesus in a manger. Goodwill toward men. Get a goosebump. But then when you leave here, you've had the experience. But how about God with us? How about when you leave this place and you walk out on the street or you go into a store? That experience that you had here, it might not have any value or any meaning to you or change anything in your life. You're just the same horrible person that you ever were. And I'm not talking about morality here. I'm talking about you go into a store and someone crowds in your way. What are you going to do? Treat them just like you did when you were a teenager? Hey, what are you doing? But when God is with you, what happens when God is with you? When you begin to grow in that sense that as God is with you and you get on that computer, it begins to change some things that you look at different. And you might get on a page that you shouldn't be on and you know you shouldn't, you feel guilty, but there's something inside of you that says don't. Don't. Don't look at women that way. You look at a woman as someone Christ came to save. Don't look at that woman and lust after her, just like anyone in the world will do. But you, because Christ is in you and God is with you and He's part of you. Oh, you might fail, but you come back around and say, God, forgive me, you're with me. How can I be like this? How can I act like this? Oh, but let me tell you, we call that living a moral life and overcoming those things. But I'm talking way beyond that. Every other religion has the morality and how to please God. I'm talking about something beyond an experience, but a relationship every moment of the day that God is with you. God is with His power. That's why He said when He was resurrected from the dead, all power is given unto me. And now He's part of our lives and we access that power and we can begin to change. Not because we want to please other people, but because we want to please Him. Because He's with me. He's with me. He's just not an experience. He's with me. As I walk and I see someone that might irritate me, do I strike out? Do I do something? Or do I have the compassion of Christ because He's with me and I care about that person? I care about the direction of that person's life. I can't do that as a religious Christian. I can't do that. I don't have the ability to do that. But when you begin to get the idea, God with us. God is here. When I leave this building, He's with me. His power, His anointing, His greatness. Now we could talk about the incredible miracle of God being with us. I mean, if you try to wrap your brain around it, how that God went to the kind of steps that He did. I mean, the Creator who said, let there be light, and there was light, why didn't He say, okay, I am God, I'm man. But He went through the steps, just like any human being can see the Holy Spirit in a woman conceived. A birth, just like any other birth. All the stuff that went with it. All the ugly stuff that went with the birth. I mean, do you think about that? And in a dirty place. We could look at that. The steps that He took, we would stand in awe how incredible it is. And who were these people that came? The nobodies. Shepherds? Now listen, shepherds? You know the story about David who was a shepherd? And Samuel was going to pick out, he comes to his house and his dad, and he says, hey, let me see your sons, because the king is going to be brought forth out of your house. Oh, Okay, so he lines them up. It's not any of those. Where's your sons? Do you have any other? Oh, yeah, the shepherd boy. A nobody. Not thought of. Unimportant. Nothing of great value to the world. Even to the family. I mean, that's incredible. Now, who is it that comes? The nobody. You know, the wise men? Astrologers. They weren't like wise in God. They were just sinful people who looked at the stars in determining how things would work. But God brought them. People who were the outcasts, people who had nothing really of value to give to God Almighty. We say, wait, wait. They brought the expensive myrrh and frankincense. They brought that. Oh, whoop-dee-doo, this is God Almighty made flesh. You see what I mean? We'll make a big deal out of that. The gold and all that stuff. This is God made flesh. Now listen. See, those things were not important to God. Even Paul understood that as he wrote to Corinthians, and he's talking about taking offerings and things, and he said this. I don't want, get this, think about this. I don't want what is yours. I want you. I don't want what is yours. I want you. God becoming flesh, He's with us. He's not trying to take any kind of advantage of you. And when He puts into existence certain things like doing a communion, being baptized, He's not trying to manipulate you like a pastor might. And when He talks about giving and tithing, He's not trying to manipulate you. No, no, that's His process. He wants you. He wants you. And when you begin to get the idea that God is with us, He begins to get you. He becomes everything to you. That process. The baby in a womb fighting just like any other birth. The woman in the pain pushing the baby fighting to come out. You think it was just, oh, happy day? Spread her leg, boom, it's down. God going through a process, becoming God-man. From heaven in all of its glories, becoming man. When you begin to get that, you start feeling guilty. Because you start thinking, why can't I get up an hour earlier, half an hour, 15 minutes early, and to read His Word and to pray and have fellowship? Why can't I do that? He came from heaven to earth. What is wrong with me? What is wrong with you that you can't get up early? I work long hours. You know, I've got a thyroid problem. I've got issues. That's right. You know what our problem is? We don't understand. We don't get that God is with us. God Almighty stepped out and fought to become man. Why can't we fight a little in the morning so that we can be with Him? Why can't we do something to discipline ourselves, to overcome that habit, to overcome that laziness, to overcome that selfishness that all of us struggle with? Why can't we bust through that thing, someone fighting because He fought to become man? Why can't we have a little fight in us to have our relationship with Him? Why can't we do that? I tell you one thing, because we don't get that it's God with me. God Almighty became flesh. We don't get that. We don't really see that. We really don't understand that. God Almighty. Moses, no doubt, would say about this birth, how incredible Christmas is. Let me just read a little bit to you. It's found in 2 Corinthians, 3rd chapter. And I'll just read a short little bit here. For the ministry of condemnation has glory. For if the ministry of condemnation, I'll explain to you what it's talking about. Moses, when he's talking about Moses here, and he went and he got the law, and all the law does is condemn us. Because you can't live it. You can't live it. You can't try to approach God in any way by living the law. You can't do it. You don't have the ability. For the ministry of condemnation has glory, but there was glory, his face shined. Much more does the ministry of righteousness abound in glory, for indeed, what had glory in this case has no glory. He's talking about what has glory? Not the law. No glory in that. Because of the glory that surpasses it. What's that? So you try to be moral? I'm happy for you. But I'm telling you, if you can get into the place, God with me, his glory, it far surpasses that kind of morality. You'll begin to be moral in a greater sense. You won't want to lust after your neighbor's wife. You won't want to do that. You know, you can discipline yourself. You see her down there taking a bath, and you just stare at her, you know, and you say, oh man, I shouldn't be like this. But when you get the full brunt, God with me, the glory of God, and you see that, oh God, forgive me in my lust, and I pray that woman, that you would bring her to the knowledge of you, that you see her as a soul that is lost, or a soul that needs more of Jesus, and you overcome that. What is the difference? One is by law, one is by God with us. The power of Christ that lives in you. The power of Christ, Christ living you, that makes the difference. For if that which fades away was with glory, the law, much more that which remains is in glory. Moses would marvel at the story of Christmas. Emmanuel, God with us. Worship King, come on up. Figure this one out. I was thinking about my life. And I think that some of you will understand it almost immediately. The closer that I get to God, it seems like I'm further away. Hey, I just got to tell you. Figure that one out. Is it because the closer I get, I feel such condemnation? No. The closer that I get, I see my own weaknesses and failings. And I want to say, oh, I so want to say, like Paul, at the end of his life, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. Oh, oh, that I may know him. I don't care to know that. We almost had a moment there. Okay, let's stand and sing this song. Is what God did to get near you. Christmas is what God did to get near you. Christmas is what God did to get near you. What are you going to do to get near Him? What are you going to do? Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. He left heaven to come to earth to get near you. Get out of bed a little earlier to get near Him. Father, today, I pray that Christmas would and the Christmas story would become fresh and anew in our lives. That the light might come on of what You have done for us. Your love, not my love. Your love that was shown and manifested in Jesus Christ. Oh, how can I do anything else but respond to that love? God with us. God with us. So Lord, as we go this morning, may that light come on. And may our desire is to get with You. And I thank You, Lord, Your blessing. May we do more than experience, but may we have that relationship with You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Love one another before you go. Lord bless you. Have a great week.